Good morning. It's so good to see you here today. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to James, the fifth chapter, the last chapter. It's great to have you here this morning. Welcome. If you're a guest with us today, we're glad that you've chosen to come and worship with us. We hope you enjoy it this morning. Hope your kids have a good time in small groups this morning. We're in James this month. James chapter 5 is where we are today. And the title of this series has been Straight Talk, because James is just so straightforward in the things that he says. It's one of the, I think, one of the easiest books in the Bible to understand, to figure out, probably one of the hardest ones to live. But as we look at James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, and this is not the first time that James has talked about prayer, but this is kind of where we're going to camp out this morning. Beginning in James chapter 5, 13, James says this: "Is any one of you in trouble, he should pray." Now, I want to encourage you with something. As we walk through this morning, as we talk about prayer, I want to encourage you to allow yourself to see prayer maybe in a different way that you've not seen it before. Because in our walk with God and in our experience with Him, when it comes to church or when it comes to Bible study or prayer or anything else, there are patterns that we've been exposed to. There are people we've been exposed to. There are ways of understanding that have been a part of our lives that God may want to teach us something new. He may want to show us something different. And so just like the children of Israel, when God said to them, as he brought them out of Egypt, He opened up the waters and they crossed through on dry land. Remember that? He parted the Red Sea. And for hundreds of years, that's what they celebrated, you know. And that's the way they saw God work, until God reminded them, "Hey, you know what I can do? I can make water come up out of a desert if I want to. I'm not just a God that can part seas. I can do new kinds of things. I'm creative." And so what I want to encourage you this morning, as we look at prayer, allow yourself and allow God to teach you maybe a creative aspect of prayer that you've never considered before, seen before. Let's begin again, verse 13. "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." Well, I want to share with you this morning that I see out of this passage is three ways that James encourages us about prayer. Three ways that he encourages us. He offers three encouragements. The first one I want you to see is this. He says this. Look at verse 13. "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray." And throughout this passage and other passages, I think one of the greatest encouragements that James offers us is this. "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray." What he's saying is this, excuse me, this is the kind of father that you have. This is the kind of Father in heaven that you have. Now, can you ever remember getting in trouble as a kid or as a teenager or a college student or something like that? You ever remember getting in, I mean, like trouble? And you thought of one or two things. You may have thought, number one, you may have thought, you know what? I need to go straight to my parents, because I know that along with the wisdom and maybe some stuff that I won't like to hear, I know they can help me because they love me and they'll help me. And that's exactly where I need to go. Or the other thing that you could have thought of is, I'm in so much trouble, the last place in the world that I'm going to go to is to my parents. I'm not going to go to them at all. But if you're a parent here and you have kids, the one thing that you're thinking is, I want to be dad number one. I want to be mom number one. I want to be the first choice, where if my child has trouble, and listen, I've made a lot of bonehead mistakes growing up, and I know that my children are going to make mistakes, but I want to be dad number one. I want to be the kind of father that my kids think, you know what, he may say some things I'm not going to agree with, But I know He's going to love me. I know when I'm in trouble, He's going to help me. There's going to be grace. There's going to be forgiveness. He's going to love me. That's the kind of Father that James says we have. Look there. Is any one of you in trouble? What should he do? He should go to his Father. Now listen to what the Scripture has to say about that. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. What did he say? Come to me. Do me a favor. Turn to John chapter 14. This is the only other place you can turn this morning. John chapter 14. I want you to turn there if you've got a Bible, because we're going to look at like three, four verses that are just one right after another in John 14, 15, and 16. Turn to John. And John, Jesus, in different places, talks about the kind of Father that we have. James says, let me encourage you. You've got a Father that you can go to, and not only can you go to, do you remember what Jesus said? I just read it a while ago. He says, come to me. Come to me when you're burdened. Come to me when you're weary. Come to me. He's not just saying, I'll be there for you if you need me. He's saying, I want you to come to me. That's the kind of Father we have. Look at John chapter 14, verse 13. 14:13, Jesus says this. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now look at John chapter 15. Turn there, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. Do you hear that? Look at John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. John 16, 24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete. Every time he says ask. Now this verse is going to be up for you here, right here. Ephesians 3. Paul says this. You don't have to turn there. It'll be right here. Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we what? Can ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us. What's he saying? Paul says this. Jesus says over and over and over, listen, the Father wants you to come and ask. He wants you to come and ask. Come and ask. He says, come to me. And then Paul says this, listen, not only when you come and ask will he do what you ask, but he'll do immeasurably more than you ask. And so James says, listen, be encouraged. This is the kind of Father you have. Listen to 1 John. 1 John, John says this, 1 John 5, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. You hear that? That's the same thing James says. This is the kind of God you have. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. John says, be encouraged, have confidence. Every time you go to your Father, He hears you. And you know what He does? He wants to give you exactly what you ask for. Remember Matthew chapter 7? Jesus said this, if you come and ask what? Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Are you getting the picture? I'm only reading just a few of them. Over and over and over. But for some reason, a lot of times, our tendency is to think, whoa, you know, I got to handle this myself. Or how can I figure this out? How can I work this out? Let's go back right over to Matthew chapter 7. Cody, let's put that back up there, please. Verse 9. Which of you, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Did you hear that? He says, I want to be there for you. James says, that's the kind of Father we have. When it comes to prayer, he says this, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Listen to John Ortberg. is a pastor and a writer, and he wrote a book. This is an excellent book. I love to share books with you that are really good. And this is an awesome book. It's by John Ortberg. It's called The Life You've Always Wanted. It's really good. I want you to listen to this. He says in that book, "Some time ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. Dawn was hours away, but I could see quite clearly in our bedroom because moonlight was streaming through the window. And I looked at my wife, Nancy, sleeping beside me, and suddenly, instead of feeling groggy as one might expect, I was overwhelmed by the most intense sense of love." You ever have those times where you just see your kids sometimes and you think, man, where did the time go? Or, it's amazing how much I love them, you know? And he says he's laying there in bed and he begins to think, it was as if I saw our entire married life in one kaleidoscope viewing, one scene after another replayed in my mind. The afternoon we met, our first private joke, the first time we ever laughed really hard together, secret nicknames and hidden traditions, the way she smiled at me when she walked down the aisle at our wedding. And I saw all those kinds of events, some momentous, some trivial, but for some reason unforgettable, that anyone who's ever loved will carry to the grave. And I thought about what my life would be like without Nancy. I thought not just how empty it would be, but how that I am now, who I am now, is somehow wrapped up in this one sleeping beside me. And for the longest time, I just watched my wife in wonder as she slept. I studied her face. It was one of the most tender moments I've ever known. And then something else happened that I did not expect. Propped up on one elbow and watching Nancy sleep, I thought, while I lay in bed sleeping, God is watching me. As the psalmist express it, he who keeps you will not slumber, and he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And the thought came to me that God was saying something like this: I love you like that. While you lay sleeping, no one can see you, but I watch you. My heart is full of love for you. And what your heart is feeling right now as you watch your wife, what a parent feels watching a child, is a little picture for you, a gift, so you can know every night when you go to sleep that this is my heart for you. I want you to reflect on this night before you close your eyes. I'm watching you, and I'm full of love. James says, be encouraged. When you have trouble, go to your Father. That's what he says. The second thing he says is this: be encouraged. Be encouraged. Not only do you have a Father who says, come to me. I want to hear everything that you want. I want to hear everything that you need. I want to know everything that's going on in your life. I want you to share it with me. You know why? Because I want to bless you. I want to say yes. I want you to receive. I want to give good things to you. And the second thing James says is this: listen, not only is there a Father that loves you, but there is a community that loves you. There are people that love you and want to pray for you and want to be there for you. Look back at James. Look at James chapter 5. He says this in verse 14. Look, is any one of you sick? What should he do? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he sinned, he'll be forgiven. He says, call the elders. And then he says this: therefore, confess your sins to who? To each other. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You know what James says? Listen, you've got a Father. Be encouraged. You've got a Father, but you've got people around you. And our tendency sometimes with things that are going on in our lives is to go it alone. Listen, you and I were never created to try to figure things out just by ourselves. You and I were not created to bear the burden of just everyday problems or things that are going on in our heart, in our lives, decisions that we're making, things that are going on. And I want to tell you, that's hard for some of us. It's hard to say, I need you to pray for me. Those are some of the hardest words for some of us to say. Because it's hard for some of us just to ask help moving a couch or moving something at our house, let alone to say to somebody, you know, I need you to pray for me. Because it says, I can't do it. And that's exactly the place that God wants to get us. with Him, and as the Scripture says, right here with each other. Why? Because when I say, I can't do it, I need you. I'm being submissive. I'm saying, I can't do this on my own. You can pray for me. You have gifts that can encourage me. You can walk with me, and I need you. And that's where God wants to get us. We weren't created to do it alone. And the one thing that stands between you and I and getting what we need sometimes is the pride of trying to do it all by ourselves. It's what keeps keeping us from receiving what God has for us. It's humbling and it can be scary. And James says this, let me encourage you. There's a community that loves you. Men need men. And women need women. And couples need couples. And parents need parents to walk with them and to pray with them and to talk about stuff that you need. And men need other men and women need other women to talk about. Students need other students to be able to pray for them and walk with them and encourage them. We need each other. In the Old Testament, the Amalekites, in Moses' day, the Amalekites had come out to fight the Israelites. They came to them and said, we want to take you on. And Moses said to Joshua, he said, okay, we're going to fight the Amalekites. I'm going to send you out to go fight them. And he said, I'm going to go up on top of the hill and I'm going to take God's staff with me. And the Scripture says that Moses went up on top of the hill and that when Joshua and the Israelites engaged the Amalekites, that Moses used God's staff, which represented God's presence with them, and Moses raised that staff in the air. And the Scripture says that when he raised the staff in the air, that the Israelites were winning. And he got tired. A battle takes a long time. And he would begin to put his arms down. And the Scripture says that when Moses put his arms down, the Amalekites were winning. And he raised his arms up, and the Israelites were winning. And you see how this goes. And the Scripture says, so Aaron and Hur placed a stone under Moses, and Aaron got on one side, and Hur got on the other, and they held Moses' arms up until Israel won the battle. And the Scripture says that Moses builds an altar and says, the Lord is my banner, because here I raise my hands to heaven in prayer. Listen, you need Aaron's and hers in your life. God didn't mean for you to do it alone. You will lose the battle if you try to do it alone. God was saying, Moses, you need help. And you know what? You need help. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you where you can get it. There is a body right here. There are people right here that are ready and willing and waiting to receive you. You ever been to the emergency room? You go in the emergency room with something that's going on. You go in there. For whatever reason, some of us have been there. You go in, and if it's an emergency enough, they wheel you right back. There's people back there. They're waiting on you. They're taking your blood pressure. They're making sure they've got a table ready for you. They've got a room ready for you. If not, they'll make one ready for you. There are people there waiting on you because you are in need. Let me tell you something. There are people here ready and willing to receive you. Ready and willing. And the Bible says, James says, call on the elders of the church. You know what? This church has elders. And they are ready and willing and eager to pray for you. And they're men who serve and love and encourage and teach and exhort and walk with and protect. Those are the elders of our church. And for some of us, we come from systems where church leadership is the model. We think, when we think of people who lead the church, we think of decision makers. We think of people in power. We think of that. That's the model that we've seen. Listen, the elders of this church and the biblical model for elders are men who come to a position of leadership from a position of service. And the elders here, they have a Bible in one hand and a broom in the other to say, I'll serve. I'll serve. That's my desire. is to pray for you. And if you need something, and here James says, if you're sick, ask the elders of the church to come and put oil on you and pray for you. Listen, the elders, the men that I serve with, are men who come to this church to serve, to love, to teach, to pray, to encourage, not from positions of authority to make decisions, although God's entrusted them with that. And they do that humbly. But listen, what I want to say to you is if there's a need in your life, let the elders pray for you. And we do that all the time, together and individually. Rod Collins, John Stout, Mark Zimmerman, myself, Andy Coleman, Brian Lloyd, Scott Warwick, men who want to wash your feet. Where else are you going to get that? Ready to receive you. And then he says this, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Not only is it the people who serve you maybe in leadership, but it's the whole community. James says this, be encouraged. Why? Because there's a community that wants to receive you. If you're willing to lay down your pride and say, I need help. You know what? We've got a couple dozen pastors in this church. They're called Bible study leaders. And they're ready to receive you. They're eager to pray for you and to meet your needs. And there are groups all throughout this church that meet almost every night of the week who say, join it. We would love to pray for you. We would love to know more about you. And we're not going to push you. We're not going to pressure you. We're not going to call on you to read the Bible. We're not going to call on you to answer any questions. You can be as anonymous as you want to. You can be as engaged as you want to. But we guarantee you this. You're going to find people that love you. You're going to find community. You're going to find a place that if you want, you're going to experience good Bible study. There are new groups like this that are kicking off just in the next few weeks. They're called Starting Point Groups. They're designed specifically for new people. People that want a fresh start with God, or people that are new to Whitestone in the past year. And when you go there, it's all new people. And you know what it's designed for? It's designed to be a community. James says, be encouraged. There's a community that wants to pray for you. It's designed to be a community for you. To get to know, to laugh with, to eat with, drink coffee with, find out what's going on in each other's lives. Talk about parenting. Talk about relationships. Talk about the Bible and grow together. James says, be encouraged. You have a Father and you have a community. And he encourages us to use it. Last thing I want to encourage you with is this. And James says this. He says, let me encourage you with this. Let me encourage you about faith and prayer. All right, let's look at that. James chapter 5, look at those verses. Verse 17. Verse 17 says this, Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Wow. You say, that's encouraging? That's supposed to encourage me? I mean, I don't have a faith like that. I mean, I don't walk with God like that. I can't make that happen. And all the while, James is encouraging us about our faith. Now, look back over at verse 14. Verse 14 says this, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him, anoint him with oil. And the prayer, verse 15, and the prayer offered in what? And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Did you hear that? And you're thinking, some people are thinking, well, you mean James is trying to encourage me that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well? That doesn't encourage me at all. Actually, that intimidates me a whole lot. I mean, what if somebody asked me to pray for them and they're sick? I mean, what if they don't get healed? What if I don't have enough faith? What if I don't know God like that? And so we begin to say, oh my goodness, I mean, you're saying that James is trying to encourage us with the Father and community and faith, but that faith part doesn't encourage me at all. Listen, don't miss this. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, Elijah was a man just like us. James says, be encouraged. Elijah was a man just like us, just like you. He had responsibilities. He had weaknesses. He had sin. He had problems. He had a family. And he was just like us. I want to share a couple words with you about faith when it comes to prayer. First thing is this. When we come to God in prayer, and when we pray for someone or something, or when we, let's just take the example James uses. When we pray for someone who's sick, or maybe dealing with near death, or let's say it could be even something that's not so tragic. When we pray, faith is this. We focus on God's ability, not ours. You know what I'm saying? We focus on the fact that He's the one who can do the healing. He's the one who can answer the prayer. And you know what? He can do anything. He can do anything. And if I believe that, you know what my first response to be would be more often when I get an email or a phone call or a conversation or something arises in my life, the first response would be, I don't need to try to figure this out myself. I don't need to have to wrestle this out myself. I don't need to have to worry about this and do all the calculations. I'm going to pray about it. That doesn't relieve me of just any responsibility, but I'm going to pray about it. And you know what? When we pray, listen, when the elders of our church have been called to pray over someone who's sick and near death, me just getting my back into it ain't going to make it happen anymore. It's not about me and my strength and my effort and my desire. It's about the fact that God can do anything. And the focus when we pray is simply on Him. God, what I'm asking You to do here, because I know You can do anything, is this. And I believe You can do it. It's not about me. Second thing I want you to notice about faith is this. God doesn't always heal when our prayers are offered in faith. Okay? Remember, Paul says, I went to the Lord three times and I asked Him, would You remove this thorn from me? There was something in Paul's life that gave him trouble. And he said, I prayed about it three times. And I said, God, would You remove this from my life? And God said, no. You know why? Because My grace is sufficient for you and My power will be made known through your weakness. Listen, you're not under any sort of pressure. There's nothing that's going on in your life. If God chooses to not heal someone, listen, when we come to God or when we're praying for something in our lives, something we want, something we need, sometimes we can't even distinguish the difference. And we're saying, God, help us anyway to distinguish. Is this something I want or something I need? Or we begin to pray about whatever situation it is in our lives. One of the things that we do is we come to Him and we say, you know what? With everything I know this. Everything I know is limited. And You know everything. And You're sovereign. And You're going to do what's best in this situation. And that's what I ask You to do. That's what I ask You to do. And the other thing I want you to notice about faith is this. Not only do we focus on God's power, and not only does God not heal every time we offer a prayer in faith, or answer the way we want Him to every time we offer a prayer in faith, is this. The size of your faith, James says, be encouraged about faith. Elijah was a man just like us. The size of your faith can be very, very small. There was a man who had a son who was possessed with a demon, and he brought him to the disciples, and the disciples could not cast the demon out. They couldn't do it. Jesus had been away, and then he arrived, and the man said to Jesus, your disciples can't drive this demon out. And Jesus did. And the disciples said this. You can look at this, Matthew chapter 17. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And He replied, because you have so little faith. But I want to tell you something. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You know what James says? Be encouraged. If you have the tiniest bit of faith, I don't know what the disciples were doing. Maybe they were thinking that they had some sort of special say-so or power in the matter. But Jesus said, you know what? Don't get caught up in the measure of faith. Don't get caught up in how much faith you need to have or how much strength you need to exert. All you need is a little bit. And if you have just a little bit, you can see great changes. You know what James says? He says, be encouraged. You know why? Because you have a Father who says, I want to answer every prayer in your life. And He watches over you. And He says this, there is a community that's available to you, that's ready and waiting to receive you. Be encouraged, because you can be healed by their prayers. You can find answers by their prayers, and they will lift your arms up. And He says this, be encouraged. Don't be intimidated by faith. Don't be intimidated by prayer. But be encouraged. This is what God has to offer. This is who He wants to be in your life. Let me ask you this question. Would you be willing to say, God, I need your help. Would you be willing to ask other people to pray for you? And would you be willing to say, God, I believe you can do anything? Would you do that? Let's pray together. Than I even know about, but you know.